Bibles to Acts chapter 1. We're just going to be looking at one verse this morning in Acts chapter 1. Okay, we need two young men to help us this morning to pass these out. If you would pass these out, I appreciate that. And if you would pass these out. All right. Okay, anybody did not receive, you should have two. Okay. Yeah, just wave. Okay, she did not. Put these if you... Give Mrs. Eccles one of those and then put those on the communion table. Okay. Okay, everybody received two copies, two items. Okay. All right. Yeah, if you could, there you go. That's great. Thank you very much. Okay, we're in Acts, just one verse, chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, Father, we ask that you'll bless this time, this session together, and the reading of thy word, and we'll give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. All right, we have some items we'll be handing out after the service. We have a sign-up sheet. I cannot reiterate. We have some regular folks that are on their way in. They're running a little bit late. Some that are ill. Pray for Tuck. Remember Tuck, he'll be having surgery. And there's some things that are in the mix right now, checking up his heart, different tests and different things. But I never knew this. You know, I always thought a knee replacement isn't all that difficult. Hip replacement is complicated. But, you know, people that get a hip replacement, they heal almost. I mean, they're out walking around in a couple of days. And a knee replacement, a couple of months maybe, or a couple of weeks. And a big difference. How intricate the human body is as the Lord made it. Amen? Okay. This is an altar worker sign up for Florence Baptist Church. We're going to be talking about the altar worker in just a moment. Altar workers are virtually a critical staffing for ministry in the church. Critical. Very, very important. And it will make the difference between heaven and hell for some. It will make a difference for homes in salvaging relationships, healing, and so on. It's just critical and important. So we hope to bring these things out. And then we have a laminated card, and one side is at the altar, the other is the altar. And it'll give you thoughts on what to say when you are with somebody and helping them. We'll go into a lot more detail about that in just a moment. Okay, now, winning souls at the altar, and this is preparation on this particular lesson. It's not a long lesson, and that is by design. The first thing that you see in your outline is dealing with a person at the invitation. Now, you should always assume, if you're going to be an altar worker, now, if you decide not to, at least make a decision with the Lord to be a soul winner, to be a witness, to reach out and bring people to the kingdom of heaven. Now, you know, even inviting people to church is a form of soul winning. The woman at the well, what happened? You know, she had how many husbands? Wow, like five, and the one that she had at the time was not her husband. But she went back into the city, and what did she do? She went out all over. People are saying, oh, it's her again. You know, I mean, you know, just she's been married to half the people in the village, and I mean, you know, this is the woman at the well. Well, she said, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You know, they've been waiting for the Messiah. Is not this the Christ? You know, that's the way it is in our generation right now. Jesus is coming. He is coming so soon, brothers and sisters. It is going to be so soon. I'm not a date setter. You cannot set a date. But I can tell you this, on the second coming, if the rapture occurred today, the second coming would be 7 years after. And we can pretty well tell you on prophecy and signs of the time according to Scripture, but not the rapture. We can only look 7 years before that. And may I tell you that with everything happening, I received an email. I passed it on to a few folks, but it is of an email for a company in Ireland working in conjunction, I believe, with another one in Scotland. And they have worked on microchips. You know, a lot of issues on microchips now. Vehicles being not there, and lots, pickup trucks, everything, can't sell them because they're waiting for microchips. And, well, they've got a microchip that has been developed that it is so small, it is put in suspension of liquid, and it can be injected, they say, just under the skin. Fine, but I believe it's going to be in the bloodstream. It'll be located in an area. It will lodge in a part of the body where they can be traced and they can be kept after. And it will be a way to report to the Antichrist when he appears after the rapture. And also, in addition to that, just think of this, that the control is what it's all about. And folks, this is not political. But we're seeing control now in our country and around the world. We really are. Well, if you don't have a vaccine, you're going to get fired. I would recommend if somebody tells you, and I'm not being dishonest or disloyal to our nation. I love America. It is a nation that I believe in God's providence was created under his hand by godly people. But with all of that done and said, We're at the threshold. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. And Jesus, we sing songs sometimes, marvelous message we bring. I mean, Jesus is coming again. So we have control. And now, I don't care who would have been in office. Donald Trump was fought against. And this president is being resisted now and fought against. There's an issue, commonality, leadership, no matter whether they're a Dem or a Republican. But that's where we are right now. So when we look about the rapture, think about this. Every invitation that our church has, every invitation is an opportunity for us to reach out and to minister and to win somebody or to help somebody if they're faltering in their faith, just to reach out. An altar worker is an important, important person. And I would say that an altar worker comes under the realm of the right hand of the pastor of the church, and they are needed so badly. You are important. So as we go, dealing with a person at invitation, when a person is coming forward or God is dealing with them and pastor is talking about hands raised, when they come forward, you should always assume that the person coming is lost. Always. Assume that that person coming is lost. Now, if you know them, that's one thing. But I've seen over the years, as having been a pastor over the years myself, I've seen people come forward that I thought that were saved and have never been born again. See, they had not been saved. All right, then Roman numeral 2. We have dealing with a person at the altar, at the altar. All right. Now, do you have, what does your caption on your paper say? On your 8.5 by 11. What's the title? Pardon? Alder workers. Right. Okay. Now, here's what we have. At the end, we like to give these out free of charge. They're laminated. We would like to, at this point of time, say that until everybody can get one, we'd like to have one per couple, if possible. If we have enough, I talked to Nancy. We have the laminating machine and the material needed. We can create and make more. Okay, so you see, you've got the at the altar. And if you go down the list, does that show listing on that at the altar? Number one, always assume the person is lost. Yep. It does it on the 8.5 by 11. Okay, on that one, yes. All right, then let's do this. We need to get these out. So could I have two nice-looking young men to hand these out? Okay, now I said nice-looking. Okay, that means you, yes. Okay. And yes, it means you. Yeah. Okay. Try to limit yourself one per couple if you can at the beginning. And as we get more of these, we will make these available. When you get that, did you get one, Miss Eccles? Okay. All right, we have some left. Okay. Would you give one of these? Now, do you have one?
No.
You should. Yeah. And you know, you're a teen, aren't you? Yeah. And you need one? Sure, you do. You got it? Good. Okay. Give one of these to Miss Edie. She does not like being called Miss Edie. Does she? Does she, Will? Okay, now, look at the side, first of all, at the altar. We want you to keep these. I would suggest they're laminated for life, for longevity. I would urge you to take and put this in your Bible where you know where it is. But notice going down at the altar, number one, always assume the person coming forward is what? What does that say? Is lost. Number two, what do you do when they're coming? You ask them, are you coming to receive Christ? You see, I'm being too intrusive. No, you aren't. No, you aren't. I mean, why else would they be coming? Well, I'm coming to pray. That's legit. I mean, any reason they come is legit. But are you coming to receive Christ? Number three, if their response is unsure, then ask them, are you sure that you would go to heaven if you died? Okay, do you have one? Okay, you do have one. Good. Okay. Here, why don't you get one of these? Okay, thank you. Okay, we're on at the altar on this, on that side. Would somebody, let's see, Dana, you don't have one of these, do you? Yeah, yeah. Well, let him give you that. It's if there's any changes, I don't think that there is. All right. Then what do you do? Somebody's coming, and well, I'm having a struggle. Okay. Ask them. Do you know that you're saved? Well, I did make a decision. I did ask Jesus in my heart, and you can ask them. Was there a change in your life? And then you can go from there. But notice number four, for assurance. Use 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Verse 12 especially says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. See, it differentiates between light and darkness. And then look at number five, and this gives you scripture for particular things that you can help people with. For baptism, use Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word were what? Baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 5,000 was another time. Amen. Okay, but 5,000 sounds better than three, doesn't it?
Amen.
And then Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, phenomenal set of scripture is in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4, but actually verses 1 through 4. And then for membership, should people come? Yes, they should. For membership, they absolutely should. And we saw people come forward, Wednesday, wasn't it? Amen. And came for a membership. All right. But if a person is going to come forward and you do not know them, or you do not know them well, do not know all of everything that they believe, listen to this very carefully, and it's on your card. Number one, be sure of their doctrine. What do they believe? And why do they believe it? Well, doctrine. What about if a person comes forward and says, I try to be a good person, and I just believe if you're a part of a good church that you're going to go to heaven? That's not salvation. So you're sorting out the weeds in the garden and kind of plucking these things out so that they have a clear thought on the decisions they're making. And then be sure of their baptism. Baptism? Sure. Number one, when should a person be baptized? Tell us. After they're what? After they're saved. Amen. Okay. And how should they be baptized? Oh, now, wait a minute. Can't we just have folks come and we... Huh? You know what the word baptism means? Immerse. You can't immerse. That's not scriptural. Also, baptism, believer's baptism, shows a picture of the death. As we are, a person's being baptized, they're identifying with Christ in his death. Burial, resurrection, okay? Now, so be sure of their baptism. Has to be the right kind. Must have happened at the right time. Well, they got baptized the right way, but they got saved a month later. They weren't baptized. They got wet. They got immersed maybe, but they weren't saved, okay, at that time. So it must be done after conversion to Christ. And then number three, and this is so, so important. If their doctrine is different, give the completed and you'll have a decision card that you'll be working with, and give them the completed decision card to the pastor, and he will, from that point, set up an appointment with them. Not on the spot, because you run them out. Pastor doesn't want to run people out of the church. And so he'll have a chance to work with them, maybe an appointment for them to come in his office or whatever. And so if the doctrine's different, give the completed decision card to the pastor. How many of you ever seen the decision card for Florence Baptist Church? How many of you have not? Have not. Okay. Yeah. Do we have a bunch of those? Pardon? Okay, let's pass those around. And the reason, now those are decision now, right? Membership decision. Or is that visitors?
Oh, this is the visitor.
No, we don't want to hand that off. Okay, does he have some back here? Okay, I will tell you, in fact, if you would give me that one clipboard. Thank you. Okay, as an altar worker, we have three clipboards. We will get as many as needed. But here you have a clipboard. It's a hard writing surface. You have a pen. You have a decision card. And then you have, now that you're saved, what next? A track. Okay, so on the decision card, it says church membership and decision card. Now, it's got all details, Mr. and Mrs., a block you check off. It's got their name, their residence, mailing address, if it's different than where they live, city, zip code, their home, their birth date. See, if they're coming forward for salvation, they made a decision, you make sure you get all that in there, or if they're coming to join. We the pastor wants to know, and the church would like to know, what their birthday date is, anniversary if they're married, spouse, their spouse if they're married, and then if they have children at home, okay? And actually, you could put them if they're out and about and they're on their own, that's fine too. And then the person makes the following decision, accepts Jesus Christ as personal Savior, desires membership in this church. See, there's boxes, you check them off. Well, how are they going to join the church? By statement of faith? By baptism? Well, yes, they can join if they've been saved and then are baptized, or by letter from address of a church, another church. It has to be of like faith. And then another blank, dedicates life for related vocation. Dedicates life to Christ. Other decision. Here is one of the most important things on these cards that you'll see. We're going to get extra cards. Nancy is going to be running some of these off. But at the bottom, in bold uppercase words, altar worker. We ask that you sign legibly or print your name, but better to sign it, your name, that you are the one, the altar worker, that has helped this person. You know why? Because if pastor's got a question that he wants to clear the air in his mind and heart about that person before maybe he talks with them, he may call you and say, can you tell me about thus and thus? How, you know, what did they say or whatever? That will help our church immensely, you see. Nothing worse than the pastor having to talk to somebody that's ready to join or just got saved, wants to get baptized, whatever, and he's asking them all the same questions that you would have asked him as an older worker. So you can give the answer, you see. Okay. Thanks, Roger. And Roger, by the way, one of his ministries is to keep the altar workers' clipboard and everything stocked up on that. All right. Now, here we go. We have number 6 for membership. Other decisions, number 7. Offer counsel. pray with them. Number three, what does that say? Be an encouragement. All right, now let's flip the card real quick. And we're going to continue with our lesson. But, the first one was at the altar. But actually the second one, but the altar. People coming forward. Well, number one, they've sinned against God. They need to be saved. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then number two, they'll pay for their sin one day. They need to know that. You need to have that become indelible in your heart and mind, that it is a pattern that you can show them. That's why it's so important you keep this in your Bible. You'll always have your Bible. Don't do your altar work to help a person with just a card and your and then the clipboard. You want to have your Bible, and you want to have your Bible open. Amen. So, pastor will be able to answer this better than I can, but people are coming forward. You get a difficult case where it's going to take some time and there's going to be a lot of talking from that person, then you need to go to a place that's going to be semi-private where you can talk to them and then come back out so it will not disrupt the service and other folks coming at the altar. I don't mean those people are bad, but they sometimes take a little bit of extra prayer, a lot of answers maybe for a lot of questions they might have. And then we have number three, Christ paid their sin debt. You see how it is taking a person through to salvation. And then number four, God loves them and wants them to be saved. Somebody tell, Romans 10:13, what does that say? For what?
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Healed. Complete. Made one with him. Amen? Okay, now then we have assurance. Person comes forward. They're kind of stumbling. They're having some doubts. Once you get it settled that there was a time, a place, and they live for the Lord, and then all of a sudden they started falling off. Or maybe there's some things came in their life. They're really having some issues. I wonder if I ever really was saved. You know, I mean, maybe they're coming to that place that they're thinking that. Well, number one, assurance. God's word record tells us we have eternal life when he saved us. Now, someone tell us, how long is eternal life good for? Forever, yeah. It's not a limited ticket. It's not a limited agreement. Will?
The dictionary for means here on earth. Forever and ever is here and thereafter. So forever and ever.
Amen. You betcha. Now
and forever.
Forever. That's right. Amen. Good point. Amen. All right. So we are saved when we what? Believe. You know, the gift of God is given to a person before they ever get saved. When they come to the place that they can take and call upon the Lord, do you know what that gift is? It's called F-A-I-T-H. He gives the gift of faith, and the person receives Christ and calls upon the Lord, believes Christ through faith. A person cannot be saved without faith. It is impossible. And then number two, God wants us to know that we have eternal life and sin has been forgiven. 1 John 5:13. Does it not start off, and this is the record that God has given to us? What? What's it say? Eternal life? And this life is in what? His son. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm at another verse. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen. Okay. Got those three verses. One of them kind of flipped a little bit. Then we have baptism. Very important, but very elementary. And that is, baptism comes after salvation, Acts 2:41. And then baptism identifies us with Christ. Identifies us. Identification. Okay, look at Romans 6:4. Thank you, Dana. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism. Therefore, what's the therefore? Because we're saved. Therefore, because of. We are buried with him by baptism unto death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And then number three, baptism shows, as we mentioned, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Now, let's skip down. Then we have one more thing on this card. Church membership. God's word teaches us, tells us, we are to join a Bible-believing church. Again, Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I'll tell you what the Lord loves in a church. He loves multiplication and addition. Amen. Don't you know that he wants to see his church grow? And God's people said, amen. Then, see, that's a preliminary of helps. Then on the other, to implement it, then you have at the altar. Now, let's go down. We have Roman numeral 3. We'll do this in about 5 minutes. Spiritual preparation for soul winning. What is the preparation? Number one, a changed life. We must have a changed life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new, what? Creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. Don't you like a new car? Huh? Yeah. Well, the new life that Christ gives us is new. And it's great. Remember how excited you were when you got saved? Amen? Well, there should be excitement radiating from you, controlled, as you're working with somebody at the altar. Then we have number two, a clean life. 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Then something else, a surrendered life. A person that's going to be a soul winner, going to be an altar worker, must have a surrendered life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your outstanding service. Is that what that says? It says reasonable. It's to be expected, in other words, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, if we love the Lord, we want to walk with him, and we have a changed life, a clean life, and a surrendered life, all of these things will begin to come out. And it is reinforcement and assurance for us, our own individual. It's also an assurance for others. When people come down and you're an altar worker and they see you're living on the victory side and you're happy and everything is just, you know, praise the Lord, and you want to help them, people are going to be so much more receptive for you to reach out to them and to help them. Number four, a burdened life. Romans 9, 2 and 3, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul was so burdened, he would have given his life for the nation of Israel. He would have done that for his own people. Then number five, a compassionate life. Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Yeah, did Jesus ever cry? What is it? John chapter, is it 11 and verse 35? Yeah, that's right. And there's another verse almost as short as it. I don't know the address. Rejoice evermore. See? We can rejoice evermore because Jesus wept. He loves us. Okay. Then we have a stirred life in number 6. 1 Corinthians 9:22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means win some. Number 7, a persevering, a continual, keep on keeping on, persevering life. 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You can know all there is in the world, but when you're talking to people about their soul, you want to know about him and nothing but him. That's what you want to tell the person that you're dealing with and helping. Number 8, how about an enlightened life? An older worker should have an enlightened life. Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Oh my. I'll tell you what. Have you ever just talked to somebody about the Lord and they just seem to be a know-it-all that's not saved? But when you come to them in confidence and joy and you're talking about the one that has been you're having a personal experience in your life with, it seems like they'll start stumbling. Not that you want to look for that, but that the Holy Spirit will use your confidence and your perseverance to get their attention. Number 8, we talked about an enlightened life. Number 9, a praying life. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And then finally, number 10, a spirit-filled life. That's kind of like where we started, Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive, what does that say?
Power.
Amen. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. How many of you have been saved? Raise your hand just for a moment. You know you're saved. Okay? All right? Do you know what happened when you got saved? You have power upon your life after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The instant you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God filled you and indwelt in your body to live with the Lord and for the Lord. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost, wow, that's missions, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So, we need altar workers. We have a pen in this clipboard. If you will sign up to be an altar worker, I will promise something to you. That I will get with you as a group and we'll take it to another level. And it will not be a long time, but it will be important. It's something that we could possibly do Wednesday. I'll get with Pastor and either maybe before or maybe a few minutes after the service. All right. So, would somebody pass this around? Why don't we get this over to that section and just let folks go down through. Now, before you get the clipboard, it's a commitment. You say, we're not asking you to be the perfect altar worker. We're asking you to be committed to Jesus that he will help you to be a good altar worker. That's something only the Lord can do. Only the Lord can do. Now, an altar worker. When is an altar worker activated? At the invitation. Whenever there's a need in the church. Altar workers can go to the back and stand up at the invitation and look for hands that are being raised. Maybe an altar worker can point it out to the pastor as long as they're in the very back. Or an altar worker would come automatically and go to their station, wherever they choose, and they will wait for folks to come forward. Okay. Altar workers are needed. And you say, if I'm an altar worker, Brother Eccles, does that mean that I've got to be an altar worker for every service? Not necessarily. But it does mean that you'll have a teachable spirit, you will yield, and allow the Lord to use you in his timing. Okay, let's be dismissed, and if you'll wait till the clipboard is passed, we'd appreciate that. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you'll bless the morning service and that you would meet with us. But Father, please bless and be with each and every person here now. And Lord, the church needs altar workers, needs people to be involved in the lives of others to help them. We ask, Lord, that you'll bless and raise up people. And we ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. We're dismissed, but if the clipboard's not passed yet, please wait just for a moment. Huh? Here. Number what?